Single Point of Failure, The 10 Essential Laws of Supply Chain Risk Management. Author, Gary S. Lynch. Laws of the Laws. A good starting point for any challenge is to understand the context in which the solutions must be implemented. What are the practical realities of the culture, behaviors, and intangibles that cause the solution to succeed or fail? Most people know these unwritten rules, whether they are budgeting an expansion program, introducing a new product, eliminating manufacturing defects, or heading up a quality control team. This premise leads to four specific precepts that we call the laws of the laws. The following laws of the supply chain risk process you find in the coming pages all have to address these four basic precepts on some level, and often on several levels. Law number one. If you don't manage and lead change, you have to surrender to it. A change revolution is underway today, and it is global. In choosing a type of revolution, organizations have a choice. They can charge and lead changes as revolutionaries, or they can climb up the steps and passively place their heads on the guillotine. It is a choice of survival or surrender. For an organization to be prepared for the unexpected, it has to identify potential triggers. Listen to the risk-conscious culture. Rapidly escalate issues to those in authority and take action. It must also leverage existing risk programs, such as business continuity, crisis management, disaster recovery, and emergency management. Law number two. The paradigm should destroy the parasite. Today, supply chain risk activities are typically driven by, first, functional risk groups within an organization, working with business or operational stakeholders, and second, executive management via an executive mandate, normally defined at the top and communicated down through the organization by a senior executive such as CEO or CFO. While both are important, there is yet another often overlooked source for prioritizing the organization's supply chain risk. It is the owners of the risk, more commonly referred to as the external shareholders. These owners represent customers, investors, regulators, underwriters, rating agencies, and, in some instances, the government. They have the most to lose. They are responsible for setting the risk, priorities, or what we refer to as risk paradigm. The external stakeholders define the risk expectations that the organization must execute. This is a subtle but critical distinction that, if not conformed with, can lead to significant operational inefficiency or, worse yet, to a single point of failure. Law number three. Manage your business DNA in a petri dish of evolving risk. We are redefining the DNA to create a model for aggressively mastering the risk challenge. Remember, your supply chains are your business in every sense of the word. You need a three-pronged attack to get rid of the risk parasite within the chain itself. This new kind of DNA is 1. Define, 2. Narrow, 3. Act. If you take this three-part approach, you improve your chances for mastering supply chains and reducing the relevant threats that are otherwise going to determine how well or how poorly your supply chain functions. The three-pronged attack, define, narrow, act, has to be applied systematically on multiple layers of your and your supplier's organization. The problem in many situations is that each function, department, segment, company, and even individual operates within their own defined universe. The solution to supply chain risk management is to be able to view the entire organizational chromosome and then to understand how your universe fits into the larger picture. Law number four. In supply chain risk management, demand trumps supply. Supply chains are extremely vulnerable and volatile because demand is ultra-sensitive to both perceived and real threats. As a rule, supply chains are a slave to demand. Extreme volatility in demand over short time intervals will have magnified effects not just to supply, but to the strategic design of existing supply chain configuration. Organizations need to begin the demand view by establishing visibility downstream, into the demand side. Specifically, the organization should establish a clear line of sight and better understanding of customer and demand, market trends, local and global, and competition, distribution and sales channels, ability to get the product to the market, the external environment and the macroeconomic, cultural, and geopolitical factors that impact it, such as a financial downturn, protectionism, trade restrictions, and the geopolitical instability. Law number 5. Never set up your suppliers for failure. When evaluating a supplier, the scope of your organization's activities must include a view of the fully extended supply chain. Avoid prejudgments, bias, and blinders. A supplier's failure is not a simple problem to evaluate or understand. The case is not simply negligence on the part of the farmer, but also includes culpability up the chain, including those who insist on tighter margins and impose restrictions on suppliers who are already barely making it. It also includes the risk of the unscrupulous others who see the opportunity to take a shortcut and to exploit the system. Simply stated, the entire business model that is supported by the extended supply chain must be included in the scope of the analysis. Law number 6. Managing production risk is a dirty job. With the distance between production and management, the criteria you develop can be applied to identify steps needed immediately to reduce risks. These may include the imperative of shrinking the supply chain in order to eliminate the twice-removed risks associated with a second-tier problem. The 8 areas and their most severe risks are as follows. 1. Economic, labor, skills shortages. 2. Informational, loss or disclosure of proprietary confidential information, information integrity issues, technology failure. 3. People, oversight, accidents, errors, and other process failures. Loss, defection of key employees. 4. Psychopathic, criminal, and terrorist weather. Hurricane, typhoon, cyclone, wind, hail, tornado. 5. Environmental and man-made. Biochemical and radiation release. Fire and or explosion. 6. Political and social. Government policy and or attitude change. 7. Reputational. Product liability, failure, recall. Law number 7. The logistics risk management. Rule: managing the parts does not equal managing the whole. Logistics management is about moving information, people, and goods in the most effective and efficient means possible. Plan, implement, and control the efficient, effective for requirements. Most of us probably think of logistics management in terms of transportation, such as air, rail, water, and pipeline. It is more than just a simple but high-priority job of getting goods from point A to point B. Logistics management involves the integration of information, transportation, inventory, warehousing, material handling and packaging, safety and security. A ripple effect of missing a logistics target never diminishes in severity. It always increases as it spreads throughout your supply chain. Law number 8. Mitigation. If supply chain risk management is not part of the solution, it will become the problem. It is important to know the answers of these two questions in order to make the supply chain risk management a solution. Who is responsible for understanding and managing threats? You need to identify not only functional methods for mitigating risk, but also to decide on how to communicate the importance of these steps to the decision makers. How can my organization build the required attributes and change its traditional view of risk? The key to avoiding or reducing risk in the new interrelated world is to develop the intelligence and the flow of information, anticipating, avoiding through agility and flexibility, or reacting to warning signs, containing and responding. Law number 9. Financing. Risk financing and insurance can be categorized in 5 dimensions, each has significant impacts on your organization. 1. Disruption of the supply of goods or services and inadequate coverage levels, which causes a failure to satisfy a customer's requirements on time and exposes the organization. 2. Price volatility may result in difficulties in passing on price changes and impact profits. 3. Poor quality of products and services, either upstream or downstream, which impact on the customer's financial satisfaction and include future financial consequences. 4. Reputation damage, which arises from problems within the supply chain, such as environmental threats. 5. Unnamed perils, in the absence of physical damage. Law number 10. Manage the risk as you manage your own. We all live with risk. It is not a vague matter affecting your company but not you. Risk is everywhere. However, it is manifested in a unique way for every industry, geography, organization, and individual. If you apply the rules of organizational supply chains to your own behavior, you reduce your own risks and also reduce the risks to the organization of which you are a part. The degree to which you can manage risk ultimately determines how well you identify single points of failure and then pinpoint the steps you can take today to avoid dangers in the future. No one wants to have a fender bender at the stop sign, but it happens. So relying on diligence and awareness, as well as on seatbelts and airbags, points the way to avoiding fatalities when risks happen. And looking both ways will avoid most accidents. These are supply chain words to live by.